As we take a look at temptation, I want to review a little bit what we talked about last time. For those of you who are here, we had a short video with a marshmallow and some kids, and we talked about the fact that when we're faced with temptation, a lot of the struggle even comes before it gets there. But we often try to take hundreds of little baby steps to prepare ourselves to give in to temptation. We go to a place where we know we're going to be tempted. We turn on the computer when we know we should leave it off. We buy a pack of Oreos and put them in the house even though we're not going to eat them. And we constantly do tiny, tiny little steps to prepare ourselves that if the temptation is there, we're ready to give in to it. And we know from what we looked at last time that we need to do everything that we can to take that temptation, to put it away from us, and to see that those situations when they're coming, and to prepare ourselves in advance to not take those little baby steps, to give no place to the devil, to give no hold to him. And I'll confess that, especially since teaching about this, teaching about temptation, I think Satan has said, well, if you're going to teach on it, I'm going to make you fall to it. And there's a lot of ways that I struggle with that, but it's happened many, many times, and food would definitely be one of them. I know that there are certain things I shouldn't eat, and I shouldn't eat masses amounts of it. And yet, I take those little baby steps to prepare myself to be hungry at night, or to not eat the right things so that I want to eat more than I should, and things like that. And even things that would seem more serious, but yet gluttony is a sin that's there. So we need to be careful with these things and prepare in advance for them temptations, to put them far away from us. And we need to be aware that we take those baby steps so that we see them when they're coming. And I know there's a lot of times in my life that I see them and I choose to do them anyway. And even in the moment, I think, why am I doing this? Knowing that this is putting me one step closer to where I give in. But part of that has to do with our pride. I think, well, I can get that close and still get back out. And I can't. And we can't, but we need the Lord's help. And so we know that we should do that. And us making those preparations, not being like David and being a place where we weren't supposed to be, being on the roof when we should have been out at war, but we should, we prepare ourselves and we don't put ourselves in the wrong place. But the fact is that temptation will still come. Even when we do everything right, even when we follow God's word exactly and put the marshmallow as far away from us, temptation is still going to come. And I can prove it to you, because in Matthew chapter 4, someone who did everything right was tempted. And you can turn there if you'd like to. We'll read a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 says this: "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Now, this made me think of a familiar passage in Scripture in Luke, and I think it's in another place as well, but it says this: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Jesus prayed that he would not be led into temptation. But we see here, very interestingly, that Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So he was following God's will, and the result was temptation. Sometimes we can follow God's will and the result be temptation. And the word here is perazo, which is to test. To test or to entice. And so we see that this is immediately following Jesus, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit all coming together at once at his baptismal and the public proclamation of who he was. This is Jesus. And now that he was Jesus, he had to be tested to see if he could stand up to that. Satan was going to test him to see that if he was that, and to see if he could truly, to see if he truly was the Son of God. To fulfill his purpose as a man, he had to be tempted and enticed like as we are. If he was not to do this, then God's plan would not have been fulfilled, and he would not have been able to fulfill his role. And so often we are tempted and put into situations where we're tested, because without it, we won't be able to fulfill our goal. Without it, we won't be able to glorify God. We won't be able to sympathize and to work with others that are in those same situations. And we won't be able to grow in the Lord and to emerge victorious. And so, we know that those temptations are going to come. God can lead us into temptation even when we do everything right. So, if we know that temptation is going to come inevitably, we take all the steps that we can, but we know that it's going to come, how do we respond? I want to read a couple of letters. This is actually a song by an artist, KB. And there's two open letters that were written to him. And they're about some real temptations that are going on in today's world. I just want to read a couple of them. It says, "What's going on? It's Ashley from the show that you were doing with Triple E. The crew and the spirit was moving. When you left Atlanta, I was so encouraged in the faith, and I bless the Lord for His glory alone. I want to start off by saying thanks, but there's a battle going on. But lately, I've had this struggle with secrets of my past. In the past 5 years of singleness, I'm lusting, I'm sinning, but my lust here is different. Since I've been so alone, I kind of long for the touch of a woman. There's a battle going on, and I know it's wrong, but dudes never ever show me attention. I go unnoticed. It was a joke, but girls show me interest. Dudes at my church say that I'm the type of chick that they want. They lie. But when I see the girl they date, I know they really don't. I get jealous quick. I hate the mirror. I don't feel pretty. I've even contemplated surgery to feel skinny. I know it's real silly. The world tells me just embrace it. You were born this way. But that's a lie. It's just lust. I tried talking to the people at church, but they look at me funny, only adding to the hurt. Now I'm torn because the other day I stumbled over porn. I'm supposed to be a leader. Man, how can I move on? That's why I'm coming to you praying. I'm praying that you can pray for your sister to make it through. I'm crying as I write because I want to be right. Many girls have fallen and I don't want to fall too." Real temptations that come to believers. Oftentimes we judge other people because of the temptations that they're in and the things that they're going through, and we think that it's their fault. It's not necessarily. And it's not our place to judge them, but it's our place to help them and to comfort them. So as this girl said, she said, "I tried talking to the people at church, but they just look at me funny." She's struggling with being a lesbian. She's struggling with pornography, and she comes to church and the people there don't help her, and she needs that help. It may be a situation of our own wrong choices. It may also be a trial that God has led us through to further His glory. Here's another one. It says this, "We're big fans of yours, me and my lady. When we came to the show, we were in the front row, screaming, going 116, going all crazy for His glory. But what's even crazier is the girl I was dating then is fiancé now. I'm engaged to her. The words you left, man, rocked us, so I went and got her left hand rocked up. But if I could be honest, I'm trying hard to abstain and not get her knocked up. Of course, I want kids, but even more than that, I want to please the Father. But when I look into her eyes, I can't concentrate. Man, I can't even lie. I want to consummate. She's the one, I'm sure, but I want to stay pure. Scary the way that I'm yearning for her. Getting married, but I'm burning for her. Hard for me to wait till she walks down that aisle. Why wait when I feel like she's my wife now? The way that I'm feeling is natural, but is it godly? Is it wrong lust or strong love that's feeling inside for my wifey? Honor the Lord in dating her. Want to do the same in waiting. But this temptation is a beast. Please pray for us." A temptation that I believe every young couple would go through in the engagement period. Where it feels like you're married. You're so close and you're ready to get married, but not yet. And there's a time to wait. It's a temptation that's going to come. And there's many, many more that happen. And these can come even though, no matter what we do, we may struggle with these temptations. So the question is, when these temptations come, when we know that they're going to come, how do we respond? Well, how did Jesus respond? But before I get to how Jesus is going to respond, I want to do a little bit of more origin story about our adversary, the devil. We learned last time, we talked about how he is a lion and how he is powerful and majestic, and that us one-on-one with him, we don't really have much of a chance. But I want to take a little bit look. The better that we know our enemy, the better that we are going to be able to succeed against him. So let's look at his origin. In Isaiah chapter 14, you can turn there if you'd like. I'm going to read a few verses. You don't have to. You can just listen. But Isaiah chapter 14. Starting in verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is Satan. This is our adversary and his fault. The thing that he fell into was wanting to be like God. He wanted to be like God. So we see that he fell from glory. He fell from heaven because of his desire to be like God. So that's his origin. His pride, we know, is a big element of his. Pride is obviously something, and a desire to be like God are some things that we know about him from that setting. He desires to be like God, and he has a lot of pride. So we know that about his origin. Now, with one of the things I often think of is in football, especially professional athletes watch a lot of game film. They go back and they say, okay, how did this player act in this situation? How did they act in this situation? And that's going to prepare me to respond to them. So let's look at some game film of Satan. How has he practiced his art of temptation in the past? We'll look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto a serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat of it, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So here we see a few things that I think we can learn that can help us as we watch for his temptation. The first thing that he does here is he plants doubt. He plants doubt. He does it in our lives. He does it all the time. He either plants it or he reveals a doubt that we already have, exposes that doubt. So the first thing that he does here is he plants a doubt. In verse 4, he says, You shall not surely die. He even starts earlier by doubting God's word. Are you sure that that's what he said? Is that exactly how it goes? So it starts with a doubt, and then he follows up with a grand promise. A grand promise we see in verse 5. In the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Now we see that coming from his origin, right? What did he want? He wanted to be like a god. So what is he going to... That's his strongest temptation. So what is he going to tempt us to do? To be like God. To be like God. So he makes us doubt, and then he offers us a grand promise, an unachievable promise. Where a promise with unachievable expectations. So we see that doubt, and we see a grand promise that's going to happen, and we also see that he is constantly tempting us with us wanting to be like God. And I want to point out that Satan is extremely smart. He knows when to strike. He knows how long to strike before you're going to give in. And if we turn back over to Matthew chapter 4, we'll see a little bit about that. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2, it said, When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was a-hungered. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the Snickers commercials for Hangry. You're not you when you're hungry, you know? The actors often portrayed as different when they're hungry. We give in easier when we're in physical distress. A recent survey of Discipleship Journal readers ranked the areas of the greatest spiritual challenge to them, and they were this. 1, materialism. 2, pride. 3, self-centeredness. 4, laziness. 5, the tie with anger and bitterness and sexual lust. 7, envy. 8, gluttony. And 9, lying. Survey respondents noted temptations were more potent when they had neglected their time with God, 81%, when they were physically tired, 57%, and resisting temptation was accomplished by prayer and avoiding compromising situations. So, here we see in a survey something that we already know, that people were more likely to give in to temptation when they had not spent time with God and when they were physically tired. And I think you could put hungry in there as well. And so Satan here, we see This chapter 4 is a continuation of game footage. It's in the past. This is what he's done, and we can use it to prepare for ourselves. Is that Satan didn't come when he first got into the wilderness, but he came at the end. He came when he was weary. And 40 days and 40 nights is about as long as a man can go before you start to die. There's a good chance that Jesus' physical body was literally dying, and he could feel that. He had no physical strength with wherewith to fight the devil. We cannot fight the devil no matter how much physical strength that we have. So Satan is going to tempt at that point. It says, and the tempter came to him, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And we're out of time, so we will look at these next points next time, these three temptations, and how in each of them we see those things that we've already learned about Satan. We see him plant doubt. We see him give a grand promise. And we see him somehow even tempt God to be God, which is a very interesting thing. And hopefully we will continue to learn how we can fight against that. And we'll close with this. Jesus responded with Scripture. So that's our number one thing. We can think about this week. Temptation, do everything you can to resist temptation, to prevent it before it gets there, but it will inevitably come, and respond with Scripture. And as we go into next time, we'll look at how do we respond with Scripture. What does that look like? What do we have to do in order to do that successfully? Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you that you have given us the power through you to resist temptation, but Lord, we have to do some work too. And we have to take the armor that you've given us, and we have to take everything and use it for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But for those of us that are in it, whether of our own choosing or whether to glorify you, that we would do just that in it, that we would glorify you. Help us to use your word to do so. Help us to learn as we continue to go through this and to pray for each other. And not to judge, but to help and to comfort and to love. And Lord, I pray, especially on this Valentine's Day, that we would not be an assembly that's known for our building or our music or our preaching or our youth program, but that we would be an assembly that's known by our love. In your Son's name, amen.